The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Trevor will not be able to play. You just have to have the next guy ready to go.
We head to overtime number two. Kyren Williams scores again. It is over. And the Irish have knocked off number one Clemson.
2020 has been about adversity and overcoming adversity.
Keep coaching. As a coach, that's what you do.
It is good!
Biggest kick of your life?
Yeah, 100%.
Wants to throw it toward the end zone. He's got it. He went up the high.
The Gators get the best of the dogs here today.
The drama of another weekend. Hello, everybody. Welcome to College Football Live. Alongside Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy, I'm Wendy Nix. We will, of course, get to Notre Dame's win over then top-ranked Clemson and what that could mean in the soon-to-be-revealed college football playoff rankings. But we start with breaking news this afternoon. There has been a postponement. Multiple LSU players, including starters, would have been unavailable for Saturday's game against now number one ranked Alabama. This, of course, due to COVID-related issues that put the game in jeopardy, and it has now been postponed. Also in the SEC, Saturday's Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Auburn, Mississippi State games have been postponed. They hope to be played on December 12th, and Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman tested positive for COVID-19. He will not be coaching in Saturday's game against Florida. We will start with ESPN Plus senior college football writer Heather Dinich. And Heather, the first question is, why postponed and not simply canceled?
Wendy, that's because all 14 SEC athletic directors today agreed that December 19th, which is the day of the SEC championship game, should be used as a makeup date for any games that had to be canceled during the season, couldn't be played during the season. The presidents and chancellors still have to approve that, but everyone in the league unanimously agreed that that should happen. Now, the other thing is Alabama going to be playing in that SEC championship game? Greg Sankey actually told me yesterday that if they do go that route, they would obviously have to determine their division winners beforehand. So I think that's why they weren't quite ready to say that it's not possible for this game to happen because of December 19th.
It's a complicated process, but we knew that from the outset that this was likely to be the case. Greg, let me ask you this, though. As a player on a top-ranked team, especially, what's this like to be getting ready to play a pretty important game and then all of a sudden, no, you're not playing and you're going to have an extended layoff?
Yeah, it'd be crushing for any momentum that you were able to build up over the last few weeks. And I, for one, and I can't speak for Joey, but I was a momentum player. When I got things going, I could carry it over from 1 week to the next. And if for whatever reason I was contact traced and out of the lineup for 2 weeks, didn't get to practice, didn't get to work out, and didn't get to participate in games, it would have had a major effect on my ability to put my best foot forward as a player. So I think, or at least I hope, most of the players handle it better than I would have, but that would have been a real detrimental blow to what I was trying to accomplish with my teammates throughout the course of the season.
I think the difficulty in when these shutdowns happen is whether you get to practice or not. If things get shut down and you have to sit out and you don't get to practice, you know, let alone the game being moved back. But if you're not practicing, that is just one step further away from being prepared to play when you do get a chance to play. This is completely different. It's something that nobody's ever had to deal with in the past. So we'll see how these teams come through it. And these coaches' jobs are twice as hard this season because of these situations where they might have to try to motivate their team in a week where they don't get to play, but still motivate them to still try to focus on getting better.
It's not easy. There's no question. At least I guess you could argue it's Tuesday. In some cases, these games have been canceled or postponed as late as Friday or even Saturday morning. Let's take a look at what we've seen so far in the SEC. The latest game, this week's game between Auburn and Mississippi State, three of the four games that have been postponed in the SEC have been rescheduled for December 12th, and that's the week, as you heard Heather mention, before the SEC championship.
This game has been everything we thought it would be.
We head to overtime number two. Powers to the end zone. Kyren Williams scores again. It is over, and the Irish have knocked off number one Clemson. In the midst of the pandemic, there is pandemonium.
We're not celebrating because we showed the world or we changed the narrative. We did it because we proved something to ourselves.
Well, and they did. Let's take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you by Goodyear. Alabama has replaced Clemson as the number one team. Notre Dame moved up two after defeating the Tigers on Saturday. And speaking of Clemson, it's the first week this season they have not been ranked number one in the AP poll, and that's what happened. So we look now at the fallout, having seen the Irish beat the Tigers, Joey, and what do you expect that means in 2 weeks when we see our first CFP rankings?
I think it absolutely means that Notre Dame's going to be in the top four, but I think they were going to be in the top four before this win against Clemson. What's going to be interesting is moving forward is if it is possible. Let's just say Notre Dame wins the rest of the games, which they should, and they get to the ACC championship game. I do believe then it gives them a two-way go. If they happen to lose that game and play a respectful game, I think they're still in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting not just what happens in the initial rankings coming out, but what happens moving forward further down the road. Notre Dame might have solidified their chance to get into the playoff.
Not only have they solidified the possibility of getting there, but they find themselves in a position where they'll be the home team with home locker rooms in the ACC championship game, potentially in a rematch against Clemson. So ultimately, last week's game, is it a big deal? Of course it is. Massive win for Notre Dame, proving to them that they can do it. If they follow their process, they can run the football, they can defend, they can stop and eliminate Travis Etienne, having a huge impact on the game. So it was a huge belief and culture builder for Notre Dame, but they have to do it again. Unfortunately for them, if they want to solidify a spot in the college football playoff, they can still get there if they lose to Clemson. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but to guarantee themselves a spot, they have to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game.
Well, look, the Tigers were playing without Trevor Lawrence, but it really wasn't the quarterback position that was the problem. So looking ahead, Greg, do you see some pitfalls or potential issues with Clemson?
I do. And they have to get healthy on defense. We talk about Trevor Lawrence. That's fine. They're also without Tyler Davis along the defensive line. James Skalski, their quarterback of the defense and middle linebacker, has missed the last couple games and is going to be out for an extended period of time with an arm injury. So they have some problems on the defensive side of the football. They gave up some big runs in this game. Ian Book, I thought, did a really nice job of taking advantage of one-on-one coverage. And if you look at Clemson over the last couple years, guys, we gave so much credit to their offense, and rightfully so, but this team was built from the inside out. And right now, inside at linebacker, along the defensive line, and even sometimes at safety, they're not quite what we've come to expect from them. So still some growing to do for Clemson's defense.
Yeah, it's interesting that the projected number one overall pick can be out and your offense doesn't slow down. Now, there were some running issues in the run game with ETN not being able to get him going. But ultimately, when you watch the game, it's those plays on the defensive side that are an issue. But so we didn't believe that any team could actually take ETN out, which is, you know, he's the two-time ACC Offensive Player of the Year. And so when we've watched this offense, you know, week in and week out, ETN has been an absolute monster. And finally, he wasn't there. Give Notre Dame all the credit in the world for being able to take ETN out of this game and their running ability. But as we look at Clemson moving forward, it's not just ETN. It's not just the offense. It's not just when Trevor Lawrence gets back, Greg. You're absolutely right. That defense for the second straight week have given up those plays to the outside and man-to-man covers that really make you wonder further down the road is, you know, say they get to the playoff playing Ohio State, playing Alabama, maybe even Florida. If they get in, those teams that have the ability to go downfield outside could be an issue for Clemson.
Greg, do you have any concerns at all that Trevor Lawrence will pick up right where he left off, given the few weeks out?
He might not pick up right where he left off, but he's got DJ Uiagalelei that's breathing down his neck, so he better play well. No, I'm just kidding. He's not going to get replaced by the true freshman, but I expect Trevor Lawrence. He was on the sideline last week. He'll be back in practice, and he's played a lot of football. I'm just not that worried, Wendy, about him being rusty. I mean, he is one of those guys that is above the level of everybody else, even when he has a B game. So I'm just not that worried about him stepping in. They should be just fine. But when they get back to the end of the season, when they play against the likes of Notre Dame again, possibly in the ACC championship, when they get to the playoff, hopefully, if they are in fact victorious in that game, then that's when he's going to need to be at his best. But at this point right now, he can still kind of work his way back into the lineup and get comfortable with that supporting cast.
Understood. And, of course, Clemson has a bye week, and then the expectation is Trevor Lawrence will be back. The loss to Notre Dame, however, broke a number of notable streaks, including their 36-game regular season win streak that was tied for the fourth longest streak in FBS history. The Tigers returned to action Saturday, November 21st, just before Thanksgiving, by the way, at Florida State. And here's the aforementioned Trevor Lawrence on how he's feeling in his recovery from COVID-19.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, you know, normal, back to my old self. Feel good, no more symptoms really. I mean, still taste and smell are a little bit weird, but I feel great, feeling normal. But yeah, it was definitely tough being on the sideline and not being able to play, but I'd rather be there than be at home watching and just, you know, any support I could offer, any, you know, extra set of eyes, whatever it was, some help for DJ, whatever it may be. I was just glad I was, you know, there to be a part of it and just be with the team. Obviously it didn't go our way, but wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else.
Doubleheader action Saturday on ABC, fresh off their big double overtime win against Clemson. The second-ranked Fighting Irish traveled to Boston College. That's at 3:30 Eastern. Then at 7:30, it's number 13 Wisconsin and Michigan at the Big House, both games on ABC and the ESPN app. Still to come on College Football Live, how about the second biggest game of Week 10? We'll find out what Georgia's loss to Florida told us.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. And in part by Allstate. You've never been in better hands. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
And now for this week's ultimate performance, presented by BMW. Florida quarterback Kyle Trask completed 30 of 43 passes for 474 yards and 4 touchdowns in Saturday's 44-28 win over Georgia. Trask is the first QB to start the season with 5 straight games with 4 more touchdown passes since Cal's Davis Webb in 2016. And Joey, we'll stick with Trask. What did you learn about that Gators offense against Georgia?
Well, I thought this was going to be good against good. We thought Georgia's defense was really good and is going against a Florida offense that, you know, we know is explosive. But coming to this game, I thought it was Kadarius Toney. I thought it was Kyle Pitts was going to be, you know, the two guys that Kyle Trask would have to lean on in this game to try to beat Georgia. Then you get in this game, and Kyle Pitts goes out, and 10 different guys caught passes in this game. Kyle Trask proved that even though Kyle Pitts has been absolutely amazing at the tight end position and uncoverable, and the guy that has scored 8 touchdowns this season, Kyle Trask proved that even without him, this offense is very explosive. He has the ability to spread the ball around, and it really didn't matter which defense was on the other side, which then puts him in a classification of teams like Alabama, Clemson we know to be explosive, Ohio State we know to be explosive. And as you look at across the landscape of college football, we've seen a lot of explosive offenses with teams with defenses that are probably a step or two behind, and especially those teams at the top. You know, and we've already talked about Clemson's defense being an issue, but there's been issues with the Ohio State defense. There's been issues with the Alabama defense. This Florida team and their offense right now and the way they're playing look as good as anyone in the country.
And Greg, to Joey's point, we did think we had a situation of strength versus strength, and instead, not quite the case with that Georgia defense. You know, this is sort of a perception versus reality thing. I mean, at some point, you know, we need to see that defense produce, no?
I acknowledge the fact that they were not at 100%, Wendy, and Joey talked about the explosiveness of Florida's offense and just how good that group is. But, guys, there's no excuse for Georgia to go out in the two biggest games of the year and get pushed around offensively and to give up that type of offensive productivity. I mean, we're talking about a group that got absolutely shredded by Alabama and shredded by Florida in their two biggest games of the year. And this is a team that's supposed to win with their defense? Like, I've heard all the conversation, all the vitriol being spewed at both DeJuan Mathis and Stetson Bennett, the quarterbacks. I get it. Is it warranted? Yeah, to a certain extent. But this team is built to run the football and to win on defense. And in the two biggest games, they couldn't do either. So if I'm Georgia, I'm looking myself in the mirror and thinking, is this the best way to proceed? Because we're calling this the best defense in America. Clearly it's not, based on their two performances that they had against very capable offenses in Florida and Alabama.
I think it's interesting when you look at Alabama game versus the Florida game. And Alabama, I felt like, you know, defensively they hung in there pretty good until the beginning of the fourth quarter and it started to go away. This game against Florida just felt like Florida was just the flat-out better team and offensively did not care what Georgia was going to bring at them. It's like they had an answer for everything. There are definitely a lot of question marks, you know, now for Georgia. And again, I still think they're very talented defense. They look like they were tired. They look like they were beat up. And, Greg, you know, if you have an offense that doesn't move the ball, that doesn't give you a break, that doesn't get you points, especially later in games, defensively, you lose your confidence. You start to press. You start to feel like you have to make something happen because offensively, they're not holding up their side. So defensively, we got to go out here and take our chances, blitz when we don't want to blitz, you know, and do things to sort of get the ball back, which you would normally do. But when your offense has been as bad as Georgia's has, their defense is going to have to take some chances.
All right, guys, let's look at a few of the other storylines from Week 10 as we take a look at a pun further review. And, Joey, I'll start with you, and that's West Virginia, the failed double pass there, and then the sideline dancing.
The failed double pass, I could see Greg doing this. I could see Greg getting in the heat of the moment. Ball comes back to him. He knows he can't run. He's thinking, there's no chance I can outrun anybody. So I'm going to try to throw this ball again because if I don't, someone's going to kill me. But then this guy is good. The dancing guy was even better.
The dancing guy was better. Greg, Arizona State, the player here gets blocked out of bounds, gets back up, and oh, dear, then the missed tackle.
Yeah, that's a tough play. That's one where you have just you get beat up and you know you're sitting there thinking about it on Saturday night. And unfortunately for Arizona State, it was Saturday afternoon. He knew he was going to have to watch it on Sunday with his teammates. That's a tough one to come back from.
No question. And then I love Tom Allen, but oh no. He tackles his own player, Joey, celebrating that win against Michigan.
The crazy part is Tom Allen got about 2 inches off the ground, and he still took out his own guy.
I don't think
the player really understood what was about to happen there.
He's like a freight train for a second. Greg, a ref gets a little too handsy here with Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, that was, you know, pretty standard. That's just, hey, that's the little love tap. No big deal. At football, that's, hey, good job. But, yeah, tough look there, but I appreciated that he helped him up after he took a big hit.
Yep, no question. The Pac-12 is back as a surprise contender already emerged. That's coming up straight ahead on College Football Live.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Tuesdays on ESPN, the College Football Playoff Top 25 show. It previews the season ahead and, of course, how it could affect the CFP rankings. They will be revealed for the first time Tuesday, November 24th. Rhys Davis hosts that show at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell a guest on tonight's show. Now it's time, though, to discuss the Capital One fan vote. Of the teams just outside the top four, which do you consider to be the best? Your choices, BYU, Cincinnati, Florida, or Texas A&M. Go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote. And we'll shift gears to the Pac-12. We finally saw the Pac-12 open their season over the weekend. And, Greg, what's your key takeaway?
Well, with the disappointing performance from SC until the last 2 minutes, I got to go with the fact that Oregon is kind of in a league of their own. I mean, I'm looking at a team that's really good along the line of scrimmage. They lose Penei Sewell, the best left tackle in America, and continue to just pound Stanford into submission. I know Stanford was without some of their key weapons and key pieces because of COVID, but all things considered, man, I wasn't real sure about Oregon at this point. Thought they would round themselves into form as the season goes along because of how they want to control the tempo and control the line of scrimmage. But for them to start this strong with that kind of momentum, that's a scary thing for teams that are going to be facing that physical bunch there with the Oregon Ducks.
I was really surprised at USC. I was surprised with the amount of players they have coming back. Keaton Slovis in his second season after throwing 30 touchdowns last year. St. Brown outside, Vaughn's outside, top couple of running backs back, an experienced defense returning 8 or 9 guys. I really expected USC to come out and at least be explosive on the offensive side, and they weren't. It's a lot of underneath throws. It was a lot of and when you look at it, honestly, you know, the things that happened at the end of the game, the tipped pass on a fourth down touchdown, to kick an onside kick, and get that. And then the perfect pass on the other fourth down to score and win that game. You don't see that very often, so they'll build on that. But I was really surprised at the way they looked in their opening game.
And now we have all Power 5 conferences underway. I will tell you, though, 3 SEC games postponed this weekend just as we started. LSU-Alabama, the headliner. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great night.